One more time, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. We've been talking this month about going home or being home. This morning we'll look at Joseph going home. And as I had done, I've got a couple of songs listed there because there are a lot of Christmas songs that reflect upon this concept about going home or being home for Christmas. I would say I'd like to be in Minnesota for Christmas, but if y'all got 50s, it ain't no better than if I was there versus here right now. So, oh, man, this is pretty much a bummer when you can't go anywhere and find a good ice-cold Christmas, ain't it, Mr. Jim? Oh, I'm still praying for 32 degrees, but that's not usually what we get here at home. I won't go to Micah yet, but we're going to keep that thought up there. We're in Luke chapter 1. And we're going to be talking about Joseph going home and the events surrounding that, beginning in verse 1. I'll read the first four verses. And we find Luke recording for us, "It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed." Some of your Bibles may have their census as well, and that's a good word. "And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David." When we look at verse 4 and we think about Joseph going up from Galilee, if we were looking at a map, we'd find out he really doesn't go north. He heads south. Nazareth is located north of Judah. But when you head down into Judah, you head into the hill country. And there are all kind of mountains there. And so Joseph is going to take Mary. They're going to travel to Bethlehem. It's a little bit south of Jerusalem, because that is the home where Joseph originates. That's his family heritage. That's his lineage. Specifically, Luke tells us that he's going to the city of David, which is also what we know of as Bethlehem. Now imagine with me the journey there. You're traveling to go to Bethlehem, which means then you're walking on the same land that David walked on. You're walking the same path, and it would be in my mind to think of, I wonder if King David stepped here. If I ever went to the land of Israel, and we're able to walk in Jerusalem, or if I were able to walk in those places, depending on where it was, I would be thinking, man, am I stepping on the same ground they stepped on? Well, you can't miss that. Joseph is getting to go home, and I wonder if he walked past landmarks that he might have been thinking, this is where David watched over his sheep. Man, a shepherd could become a king. With God, all things are possible, right? That you could take a little young shepherd boy and anoint him to be king. There's more history than that if we go back even further. There's a sad history there. This is where Jacob buried Rachel. Jacob walked there as well. Rachel, which also means Abraham and Isaac. Imagine stepping in the footprints of where those great men and women of faith stood. Perhaps Joshua. Perhaps others of that, to have known that you're walking on the very ground that they walked upon simply because it is of your heritage. The king has made a decree and you got to go back home. We don't know why he had left Bethlehem, but now he is headed back to his home. And inside of that issue, Mary is now greatly pregnant. The trip from Nazareth to Bethlehem is about 5 to 6 days. Rome doesn't care about that, though. Rome says you're going home. You're going to be counted in the city where you're from. And so Joseph does what a good citizen under Roman governorship does. He takes Mary and he heads back to his home to journey back to the source of his family tree. May not be fun, but we are commanded by the scriptures to obey the king. Now, we don't obey the king when he tells us something contrary to God's word. But if he says you got to go home to your family of origin and you got to go be counted there and pay your taxes, Joseph did what a man of God would do. He got up and he went home, as much of as an inconvenience was, because this is where his family lineage is from. You know this. I don't know that you think about it as often as I do. And a lot of times I realize I think about things that some of y'all don't think about, but that's the nature of my brain. You do not or cannot choose your family tree. You ever just sit back and think, man, how in the world did I get stuck in this branch? Am I a pine cone or a nut? Well, that's possibly too, or it could be a fruit tree. It could be a fruit tree too. I mean, we don't get to pick our family tree. We don't get to pick our mother and father. Joseph didn't get to pick where he is from. He is from Bethlehem. Joseph has got to go back to Bethlehem. It was assigned to him at conception what his family tree would be. He didn't get to pick. You don't get to pick. You know, I've never heard a baby whine in the hospital. Maybe that's why they're all crying. We just don't understand crying babies. I don't want to be home with this family. Look at them. You know, they're all in the window going, making faces at me. I don't think that's really true, Corley, but you don't get to pick your family. And I'm going to make a fast jump into overdrive here, but stay with me. None of us could pick our family, but that being the case, we're still all descendants. And it doesn't matter if you trace your family through Ham, Shem, or Japheth. It doesn't matter if you trace your family through Noah. We are all descended from Adam. That is our family tree. The Bible tells us God made Adam. We are all descended from one man, no matter what the color of our skin, no matter what our language we speak, no matter what country we hail from, we all funnel back down to one individual man. His name is Adam. Like it or not, you're offspring of Adam. You don't get to pick and choose. And this has great implications for us here. You see, in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, it was not by surprise that Joseph had to go back to Bethlehem. It wasn't a shock at all. If you had known the Holy Scriptures, you'd have known that God says that out of Bethlehem was going to come the ruler that would be. It didn't catch God by surprise. It didn't catch him by surprise at all. Where he would be born, who he would be born from. Now, we know that Joseph isn't his earthly literal father, but Rome didn't care. Joseph, you got to go back to the home you came from and you got to be counted and you're going to pay your taxes. I wonder sometimes if he may have thought, I wish I'd been born in a different family, then I wouldn't have to travel. I wish I'd have been born in a different family so I'd be rich instead of poor. I wish I'd been born in a family so that I wouldn't be short, that I could be tall. You ever wonder that, Dee Dee? You ever wonder and wish you could have been born to a tall family? She married tall. She was trying to help her kids out. You know, so you can choose your spouse, but you can't choose your parents. And all your kids are taller than you. That is correct. But they didn't have a choice in that matter. That was something laid out for them. All of us by flesh are descendants of Adam. We don't have a choice in this matter. If you could be born again, would you? If you could choose. Would you choose a different family tree? Would you choose a different kind of nut? Would you choose a different kind of fruit? Look around. There are some people that are skilled with their hands, and their family tends to be skilled with their hands. There are some families, you can put a screwdriver in their hand, they don't know which end to use. That's true. There are some people, electricity, man, it just makes sense to them. Doesn't matter what it is. And there are other people, they ain't getting near electric wires. There are families that have those skills and they will hire them to come in to do those things. Different families have different things. And the problem that sometimes irritates us is we weren't born into this family or that family. Now, you may not be thinking about that as much as an adult, but as a child or even as a young teen, you did. Man, so-and-so gets to do stuff with their family. And what'd your parents say? If everybody jumps off a cliff, would you jump off a cliff too? You know, tired, worn out phrase, but it passes on from generation to generation. Doesn't matter what their family does, you're in this family. And as long as you're in my home, you will do what I say to do. None of y'all ever heard that before, I'm sure. Some of us have. Jesus was going to be born in Bethlehem. It was God's plan. of us are descendants of Adam. Joseph was the descendant of Bethlehem. Joseph was the descendant of King David. Wow, got a king in his family. Which also means Judah was somewhere in there, which also means Jacob, Isaac, and Abraham, which also means Shem, who was a great, wise, godly man, which also means Noah. Wow, what a family tree. Part of my family tree ain't no better than Angela's. We come from over there. We ate crawfish and shrimps and probably possums and other things that we had to do because that's just what you got, right, Angela? That, you know, when you're from over there, Cajun runs in your blood. It's whatever's running around in the field is what you eat that day, a long time ago. Black-eyed peas were a staple over, Black-eyed peas were a staple. Two of you are sitting too close together there. I know that, but you didn't get to pick where you were born from. It's your family tree. It is your lineage. But if you could be born again. Well, the interesting thing is Jesus had a very interesting discussion with a man by the name of Nicodemus. And he told Nicodemus that he had to be born again. If you're going to see the kingdom of heaven, you've got to be born again. And he's not talking about an earthly birth. He is talking about a different kind of birth. And he goes on to tell us in John chapter 3, verse 31, it's in red because Jesus is still speaking, that which is born from above, he's contrasting it that with that which is earthly. Like it or not, my dad is Alan Lichty. His dad was Joseph Henry Lichty. There are Peter Lichtys and everything else. That's a fact. It's simply what it is. I can't change that. I could change my name. Does it change my birth? No. I could have a judge declare me something else. Does it change what I am? No. Birth has dedicated me as being of a certain family lineage, and all of us by birth are descendants of Adam. Maybe not the greatest news, but it shouldn't surprise you then. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul writes, the first man is of the earth, Adam. He's earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such as they also that are earthy. As that which is heavenly, such they also that are heavenly. But here's the problem. Is Joseph dead? It's not a trick question. Is Joseph dead? Is Isaac dead? Is Jacob dead? Are your great-great-great-grandparents dead? Are you eventually going to die? We all know it. It's going to happen. Did somebody start crying? I mean, we would like you to live forever. No, I'm talking to the man behind you. I would never say that to you, not with Gary sitting next to you. But don't distract me from here. We would like to live longer. I plan to live to 120. That's my goal, 120. Can you imagine the stories I can tell people if I make it to 120? Can you? You know, I remember when computers actually used disks. Flash drives no longer use disks. But the disks we started out were floppy disks. And they held like an essay's worth of information. A flash drive holds like the entire essay of Congress on it. We're not talking about megabytes anymore. We're not even talking about gigabytes anymore. We're talking about terabytes. You know, you think of the guy on Back to the Future, a gigawatt, and he's like, man, he ain't got a clue what was coming at us back then, did he? That was 1985. This is 2023. We got computers that have more power in them than that car did. The things, if we could live forever, but the Bible tells us that in Adam, all die. That means if you are a descendant of Adam, and I am, and I hate to break it to you if you don't really like it, but you are, we're all going to die. The good news, though, is if we're in Christ, we will be made alive. But we're all going to die. I don't know how, and I don't know when. But if Jesus doesn't come back first, I am going to die. Simply by virtue of my family tree. And I can't choose it. I am a son of Adam. Joseph was of Bethlehem. He had to go back. He had to be counted. He was going to have to pay taxes based upon the fact that he was descended from David in Bethlehem. But if I'm a new man in Christ, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, old things are passed away. All things are become new. And I told you a while ago we were going to jump to hyperspeed because this is where we're going to sit around and think around. The fact that I'm in Christ now, spiritually, has given me a different lineage than where I have come from. Now, in the flesh, I'm still earthly. I can't do nothing about it. But spiritually now, I have a new father. Spiritually now, I have a new family tree. Have I lost y'all? Are y'all like, this ain't Christmas? Yeah, it is. It's got everything to do with what it is. If any man's in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things are become new. I may not look new on the outside, but I'm new on the inside. My flesh just hasn't caught up with the internal reality of what is really ours. And that's what Paul tells us. We're saved not of our own selves. We're not saved of the earth, but we're saved by God's grace, which means God's grace has a heavenly origin that deals with my earthly problem. And John agrees. We were born not of our will and not of the will of our flesh, but we were born from above of God. If you are saved, it's not because of what you did. It's because of what this little bitty baby would grow up to do. Now, we love the little bitty baby because the little bitty baby doesn't tell us we sin and need a Savior, right? Right? Oh, we give gifts and we'll hang tinsel and stockings, but the reality that Jesus had to be there means somebody needed to be saved. And it shouldn't catch you by surprise. Well, if we keep reading in this passage, the angels are going to step out of glory. We bring you great tidings of good joy, which shall be all unto all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David the Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Well, if Savior is a title, Saviors do what? Savior save. Somebody needed saving. I wonder who it was. Is me. I'm a son of Adam. I needed the salvation that God offers in Christ. And Joseph was of Bethlehem. That is why he went back to Bethlehem and God's word was fulfilled. The whole point, the first man Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a, King James says, quickening, a life. A living spirit. I'm not what I was. I'm not. And y'all ought to thank God your tires would all be flat by the time this evening was over if they were. They would. I can play really good jokes on people. Most of West Side's familiar, for those of you who aren't from down south, if you ever have a leak in your tire and you just can't find it, you take it and they look for leaks everywhere and nothing bubbles, look inside the valve stem cap because Luke may have super glued a BB in it. Because when you screw that valve cap down, it presses that stem just enough to make it leak. But when they're looking for leaks, they take the cap off and there is not going to be a leak anywhere. I'm capable of much worse than that. I'm capable of way worse than that. Me and another individual were talking. There are things in our past that none of us are proud of. There are things that we would be greatly ashamed if everybody knew. Am I right? That's because I'm a descendant of Adam. But I'm no longer, according to these scriptures, what I was. Now I am an offspring of Christ. I have been born again. I've been born from above because the last Adam, he made me alive in my spirit. And being alive in my spirit means when this body gets tired, when this body bends itself and bows to the first Adam, the second Adam's going to step in and my soul is going to be safely escorted into my Savior's presence. Death doesn't bother me. I have no reason to fear death. My body is destined for worm food. Do I need to give y'all some time to think? No, I can keep going. You realize if Joseph wasn't born in Bethlehem, or if Joseph hadn't taken Jesus, Mary to Bethlehem where Jesus would be born, then God's word would be wrong. And if God's word would be wrong, what are we doing here? Why aren't we at a restaurant eating something? Huh? Or home eating mom's home-cooked meal. I mean, pancakes may sound pretty good right now. Big glass of chocolate milk, a good stack of pancakes, and some good syrup. Because Joseph's family tree was from Bethlehem. He goes back to Bethlehem with Mary, and God's word comes to pass. Doesn't matter if you like it or not, if you are a human being, you're of the first Adam. Which means eventually death's going to knock on our door. I don't want to talk about death at Christmas. Yeah, we are. That's why Jesus was born. How many of you were born on purpose to die? You know, can you imagine, Tommy, knowing that when Avery's born, that she's only got one purpose in life, when she's 33, she's going to die for something. Man, as a pawpaw, we would kind of push back, wouldn't we? Oh yeah, we would. Jesus had one purpose when he came. And that was to go to the cross, fulfilling his Father's will, but means that we would all be saved from being first Adams. We would all be saved by the last Adam, Jesus. The one who had no earthly father, which is why he came born of the Virgin, because having no earthly connection to Adam, he could save us from our sin. He had no sin nature. Jesus came to save us from our sins. And it is God's pleasure to transfer us from the kingdom of the first Adam to the kingdom of the second Adam. So much so, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, 1 John chapter 3. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. We're sons and daughters of God if he's our Savior. It doesn't say I'm a son of Adam, does it? Who does it say I'm a son of? God. That which is born again in me is of spirit, not flesh. But the spirit is what is eternal. The flesh is not. That means when I die, I get to go see Jesus. I don't have to sing about Bethlehem. I can go see him. I am a son of God. You may be a son of God. You may be a daughter of God. And what does the Bible tell us? I know it looks like we're sitting at Westside Baptist Church right now, doesn't it? But according to Ephesians 2:6, he has raised us up together with Christ, and in Christ we are seated where? In the heavenlies. Spiritually speaking right now, you're in the heavenlies if you're in Christ. Let your head figure that out for a moment. Dad, you're sitting next to Julia. But if you're in Christ, you're seated in the heavenlies. First Adam, last Adam. Because the last Adam was willing to be born, because Joseph took his bride-to-be to Bethlehem. Joseph went to Bethlehem because that is his lineage. We go to heaven when we get a new lineage by God through Jesus Christ. And what I'm saying, if you haven't yet, you need a new family tree. You need to be grafted into the vine that will never die. You need to be grafted in to that which is eternal. His name is Jesus. And he is the only one that dared walk this planet innocent and pure, willing to die for the guilty. And the reason why I know that's true, because ain't a one of you here gone to the jail and said, let me trade places with somebody on death row. You might think about doing it for a grandchild or a child, but for a stranger? Really? Jesus did, if you'll receive it. He walked this earth a king submitted to a stable to save us from our sin. Joseph went to Bethlehem because God's word is faithful. You need to make sure you know this about God. What he speaks is true. If I am a child of God, if I am in Christ, if I am seated in the heavenlies, when this body dies, where are you going to find Luke? Don't go to no stinking graveside. I'm not going to be there. I won't. There might be a tombstone. There might be a headstone. Might be. I don't know if I'm going to leave any money for that. What's the point? It doesn't change what's laying beneath the ground there, Calvin. And it doesn't matter if somebody steps on where I'm laying because I'm not going to be there. I'm going to be with Christ. Because God is faithful. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. God keeps his word. It's a two-edged sword. It's wonderful if you accept his blessings. You receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's wonderful because we have eternal hope. If we reject him, that sword cuts another way. It means if I reject him, I'll be cut off for eternity. And I will not get to enjoy the pleasures of heaven. Joseph had to go to Bethlehem because that's where his family was from, that scripture might be fulfilled. We go to heaven because God is faithful. Joseph went to Bethlehem to render to Caesar what was Caesar's, but also to render to God the things that are God's. So you don't realize that when you were born, there's a purpose in your life. You got a purpose. Joseph was going to be the supposed father of Jesus. Now we know he wasn't, but he was the supposed father of Jesus. But because he was the supposed father, where did he have to go when he was counted? To Bethlehem. Where was Jesus going to be born? In Bethlehem. If he wasn't born in Bethlehem, is God true? Nope. What did Jesus tell us? Boy, what a good passage to use during this political time that we're in. You know, for the next year, that's all we're going to hear. Oh, man. You might as well tell me I got to eat black-eyed peas once a week for the next year. It can't be any worse. It can't. What did Jesus tell us? Render to Caesar the things which are Caesar's. His earthly daddy did that. Joseph did that. But he also said to render to God the things that are God's. And we are required by God to receive Jesus Christ if we want an eternal home in heaven. It's not an option. That's how I become part of his family tree. We go to heaven because we have a new king. No wonder Herod got so upset when the wise men showed up. Where is he that's born king of the Jews? They ask, and Herod's thinking, what am I, baloney? Herod was what? He was the king. And some supposed wise men, that Herod must have thought they were really dumb, because here's the king sitting on his throne and they're asking where the king is. But the wise men knew better than Herod. You see, they weren't looking for an earthly king. They were looking for the king of heaven. Where is he that is born king of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. We have a new king. My king used to be of the earth. My king now is of heaven. For those of you who trust in Jesus, does he love you? If you are convinced he loves you, then that should mean that every step of life that I take, even when there's bends in the road, forks in the road, even when there's branches off of roads I don't understand. Joseph's got to go back to Bethlehem with a pregnant wife to be taxed of all things, that I walk in obedience because I trust God's word. And if God says he loves you and that he's got good things planned for you, that he will provide for you what you need, it really doesn't matter where the road goes, does it? It doesn't matter how the road bends, does it? But God, this is a bad time. I'd make that plea for Joseph. They don't have a car. They don't even have a bicycle or a motorcycle. She's going to ride on a donkey at best, maybe a cart, but they had wooden wheels. They hadn't invented rubber yet. A pregnant woman at this time of her life on a 6-day journey, good night alive. It's hard riding with my wife in the car sometimes on a 2-day journey. If she were in here, she'd agree. She'd be like, yep. I've told you before, when my kids were young, we traveled at night because they slept through the trip. There was no griping, complaining. There were no bathroom stops. There was a stop for gas. I could get whatever I wanted to eat. They're all asleep. I love traveling like that. Now we don't have any kids. We travel during the day because I like my sleep now, and I want to be awake when the sun's up and asleep, and so I don't travel like I used to. And she don't travel like she used to. 2 hours, she's looking for a place to get out and stretch her legs. Now, they're not very long. Why can't you just stretch them out in the car, I'm thinking. And if we're in the truck, you got all the room in the world. But no, she's got to get out and stretch her legs. Can you imagine a 6-day journey on foot with a pregnant wife? Maybe a camel, maybe a horse, maybe a donkey. But some of you are thinking, we ain't really improved the conditions yet because there's no air conditioner. There aren't any fast food restaurants. There aren't any of these welcome centers with nice clean bathrooms. There are no Buc-ee's to celebrate. But Joseph in obedience. Joseph was a righteous man. He heard the Lord and he obeyed. He took Mary to be his wife. Man, it'd have been easier just to travel by himself to go to Bethlehem. But if he had left Mary in Nazareth, and she had the baby in Nazareth, man, the things that I complain about, how silly, right? Do I really trust the Lord? What I've laid before you right now is a struggle that so many people deal with daily and they don't realize why. Why do I do the things in my flesh I do? It's because my flesh is descended from Adam. That's why. You don't have to teach a kid to lie. You don't have to teach a kid to steal. You don't have to teach a kid to talk back. You know, that little thing just pops up in them automatically. And you're all shocked when they do, like, not my child. Well, yeah, it's your child. It's of the flesh. My flesh is of the first Adam. I desperately need the last Adam. I desperately need this baby that was born in Bethlehem who would grow up to die on a cross that was not of his own earning in my place. I desperately need this story because my family tree goes back to Adam. So Joseph takes Mary, his espoused wife being great with child, and he heads to Bethlehem. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And the shepherds were sore afraid, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Because Joseph's family tree came from Bethlehem. That was his family lineage. These shepherds, they're out near Bethlehem. I don't want to be a shepherd. Shepherds were thieves. Shepherds had bad reputation. Shepherds didn't make a lot of money. You know, they were shepherding. Why? Because they probably just couldn't do a whole lot else. Now, it wasn't a really horrible thing. We know King David, he was fighting off lions and bears, so he was being a good shepherd, right? And that was what Israel needed in their king, a king that looked out for his people. You're just an unassumed shepherd. You're just doing what you were raised to do, and you're out there in the field, and all of a sudden, it was God's pleasure to send some angels to tell you the greatest news that an angel ever brought to a person. For unto you, to the shepherds, for unto you, you descendants of Adam, for unto you, you men who are bent under the bondage of sin, it is my pleasure to tell you there is born this day in the city of David the Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Because God sent his Son to take men out of that family lineage of David and to ascribe them unto the new king, the last Adam, Jesus, taking me out of sin and bringing me into life. I need the last Adam. Came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us go now even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. All of these things about Joseph, all of these things that I've shared with you, the scriptures plainly tell us, in my flesh I am the first Adam, and of the first Adam I'm born in sin. And if I want to be a candidate for heaven, not a candidate. If I want to be a son of God, I must receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I don't worship a baby. I worship a resurrected, crucified Jesus. They hurried and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at all those things which were told them by the shepherds. How many of you came to church thinking, we're going to talk about our family tree this morning. I'm of Adam. How many of you? Of all the things in the car on your way up here, I bet you none of you had that cross your mind. I'm going to talk about being of Adam. But it's true. Every single one of us in here are offspring of the first Adam, which means when we were born into sin. You didn't have to teach me to sin. It came naturally. But because God sent his Son, Jesus, I am now supernaturally grafted into his family, which means I am free from death. I am free from the bondage of sin. And in Christ, I'm already seated there. My body's just got to catch up. I will be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, Luke is going to be changed. The Bible tells me so. The shepherds went to see if what he had said, what they had been told is true. They found it just like God had said. And I'm telling you, what I've told you, if straight from this, without Christ, we die and we go to hell. In Christ, I'm raised to walk in newness of life. It's not just mere words I repeated at baptism. That's what Paul tells us is true in Christ. When I am saved, when I follow him in baptism, I am raised to walk in a newness of life. I've got a new daddy. I've got a heavenly daddy. I've got a father who loves me unconditionally. I've got a father who has plans for my good. Adam, sin and death. Before you are two options. One, you don't have to do anything about. You can just continue in your family tree of Adam. You don't have to change it at all. But you have to have a change of heart. You have to have a change of mind. You have to have a change of your thought processes that, number one, I don't want to be of that fella anymore. That's death and dying and destruction. I want to be of the one that gives me life. And if you will trust in Christ by faith believing that Jesus died for our sins, that he was buried and that God raised him up from the dead on the third day, man is saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You will confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You, my friend, will know the joy of Joseph being from Bethlehem. You get a new lineage. You get a new family tree. And guess what? In my new family tree, there are no nuts. There are no fruits. And there are no pine cones. If you're of God's family tree, you're sons and daughters of the Most High God. If you can get over that, your wood's wet. If you can get over that, you don't understand the privilege of being grafted into the vine. In Christ, I'm already above everything that's here. Already. Not gonna be. Already am. Why do I know that? The Bible tells me so. The Bible tells me Jesus was born in a manger in Bethlehem. He was born in the city where his supposed father's lineage brought him to. I hope you leave here not of Adam's lineage anymore, but of Jesus' lineage. Born again, born from above, all because Joseph was willing to take his wife Mary back to Bethlehem. You can say no. You can. You can walk out of here unchanged the rest of your life if that's your choice. Or you can say, you know what? I want a different family tree. Even if you think you're just trying to get away from your family, you want a different family tree. But the joys that are ours in Christ are beyond anything that this earth can afford. I look forward to the day, no more hearing aids, no more glasses, not having to go visit people's homes where death has occurred, not having to go sit with people that death is calling upon them. Not having to go to try and comfort someone's heart who has lost a loved one. Heaven is going to be outside of anything that we could really express. But if you're of the first Adam and only of the first Adam, you will never know the joys I'm talking about. You must be born again. You must be of the last Adam. So what's your lineage spiritually? First Adam or last? I like things that are simple. Two choices. Not really that hard or complicated, but it's up for you to choose. Do you choose first Adam, or will you choose the last Adam?